So you've been hearing so many messages, so you don't need another one. So I'm just going to do my little talk today with you. And I hope that in this training, you all have gotten some view, some revelation concerning the tabernacle. This training actually is very much a crystallization of this whole type of the church, of the corporate testimony or the corporate expression that God so desires on the earth. And I hope you have that some seeing. But as I said yesterday, last night in my message, seeing is one thing. The experience of what you have seen is another thing. So I hope that just as you pray that the Lord will show you the revelation, you will also pray that the Lord would grant you the experience. Let me say this, brothers and sisters, I feel not only we don't pray enough, I say we don't ask enough. We don't ask enough. A lot of our prayers, of course, there's the aspect of prayers for fellowship. To contact the Lord, to be with the Lord, not always asking for stuff. But what I'm saying here when I say ask, I don't mean to ask for stuff, like for better grades or a clear mind, you can study better, that kind of a thing. What I'm talking about here is asking for something spiritual. To ask for something that is according to His will, that we should ask more. We should freely ask. The Lord say, ask and you will receive. You don't receive because you don't ask. It's that simple. But many of us do not exercise that divine right to ask, or if we do, we ask amiss. That means we ask for the wrong thing. So we ask just for something physical, some physical blessing, or something merely for our personal benefit. I'm talking about asking for something of the Lord that is according to His heart. And be sure those prayers will be answered. Solomon asked for wisdom. And he was more, that prayer was, that asking, that request was more than answered by God. Actually, God today is waiting to answer your prayers. But your prayer must be the kind of prayer that touches His heart, that has to do with His will, and not asking for some other stuff. So in my personal experience, I can almost say, I cannot say what I ask of the Lord, everything is answered. In fact, many things were not answered. And there would be instances where I asked for the wrong thing. Or I asked somewhat in an impure way separate from what the Lord truly desires. But I can tell you that everything that I ask for the Lord that is on the mark, according to His will, everyone is answered. Every one of my requests is answered, and perhaps even more than what I ask or think, according to Ephesians. So I like to challenge you young people to learn to ask the Lord for what you don't have. If you want to ask for blessing, ask for the spiritual blessing from in the heavenlies. As to see his revelation, we're going to have this training coming up, summer college training, on the revelation of the mystery. You have to ask for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the prayer that Paul prayed, and that kind of prayer will surely be answered, guaranteed, guaranteed. And you ask for that, right? Fill your conversations with the Lord with this kind of asking. Now, to ask like this, you have to firstly have his word in you. You know, this is John 15. My word will abide in you, right? If you abide in me, my word will abide in you. Then, right away, say, ask what you will. Now, clearly, at that time, when you ask what you will, it's no longer just what you will, but your will being aligned with God's. So you're really asking what God's will. What is God's will? So this kind of asking, the Lord promised, it will be given to us by the Father. The Father is waiting to answer those requests. The Lord is waiting to answer those kind of prayers. So, young people, feel free to ask. I encourage you to ask the Lord abundantly, all the time, for something according to his interest in your life. Ask the Lord for seeing and ask the Lord for much experience. You say, I'm just a kid. I'm just a high school. I'm in a college kid or something like that. Well, maybe so. But it's not a matter of age. It's a matter of your heart. Your heart is in the right place. You just go ahead and ask. Now, some of the what you ask, the Lord will not answer because they are unanswerable in the short term. Some of your prayers for ask, it will be answered in the next decades. But you ask. You ask. And then you will soon find out the Lord is answering it as your life unfolds, as you grow, as you go on. But you ask, okay? Today I just have a little feeling to say something to you from Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is one message, and that is message number 4. You remember the three tabernacles? And this is a most lovely psalm. It's one of, certainly my favorite, one of my favorites. Psalm 84, and off the bat, how lovely, how amiable are your tabernacles. So I'm not going to go through this message, but this whole message is the expression of the writers, these descendants of the sons of Korah, longing for even fainting, because they're longing so much for God's house, these tabernacles, these courts of Jehovah, refers to God's house. And in today, in our experience today in the New Testament, these tabernacles and these courts can be considered as the churches, the local churches, the churches where you are, the church life. And these people, day in, day out, their hearts are filled with longing for the church and the churches, even the church life. In this way. Why? Because it is in these tabernacles and in these courts where they find the living God, where they find Jehovah. And here I like to just read chapter 27, a famous verse and a wonderful psalm, verse 4. One thing I have asked of Jehovah, that do I seek, to dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. Now, I'd like to give this verse to you for you to go and enjoy and pray, read, and make this verse yours. This psalmist says, just one thing I'm asked. Now, talk about asking. He's asking here. I'm asking of Jehovah, and I'm seeking that thing. And that is, I can dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life. I will live in the church. I will live in the church life. Every day of my life. For the rest of my life. Why? Because it is here that I can behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. That means this is the place where I can experience a life in the Lord's presence, in front of his face, a life of beholding and reflecting, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:18, the glory of the Lord, and would be transformed into his image. You know, in that one verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18, it's God's will, God's desire. That is the life of a priest, a life of constant beholding and reflecting the glory of the Lord in his presence. And this can only be done in the tabernacles or in the church life. This is where you behold his beauty. So I just jumped to my point this morning, in Psalm 84, and that is, you know, actually in the last Roman numeral in that message 4, and that is in this verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. This is a wonderful verse. Now listen. A day in your courts, a day in the church, a day in the church life is better than a thousand. A thousand what? A thousand days. You know, what's a thousand days? That's a thousand days is about 3 years. Am I right? 365 days per year, about 3 years. So this psalmist is saying, one day in the tabernacle is better than a thousand days or 3 years not in the tabernacle. One day in the church life, is better than 3 years not in the church life. So one day in the church life equals to 3 years or more of non-church life as far as duration. You know what I mean? As far as the value of your time. Now, by next year or the year next year and the year after, I would have been in the church life for about half a century. You know, Brother Ron said he already reached that mark. I'm about 3 years behind him. So in a couple of 3 years, I would have reached that milestone. Now, 50 years is about, I calculated, maybe close to 30,000 days. You know? And thank God, I will have spent 30,000 days in the church, in the courts of Jehovah. Now, according to this formula here, each day is better than 3 years. Am I right? So 30,000 days times 3 years is 90,000 years. Do you know if the Lord would keep me and I would be faithful for the next few years to really make it to the half-century point, bicentennial point, I would have lived a happy life, a life of value. For how many years? 90,000 years. How about that? Now, in the eyes of the world, many, including some my family, since you got into this church thing, you're wasting your time. You should have used your time to make money, to do this and that, and be accomplished, and all this stuff. Little do they know, I have just earned 90,000 years of life in the eyes of God. Now you say, where are you trying to get with all of this? Well, I will get there, but let me finish this verse. I would rather stand at the threshold of the house of my God. That means I would rather, in some translation, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God, at the threshold, at the door, than dwell in the tents of the wicked. He's just proving the point, making the analogy here. I'd rather even be a doorkeeper at the threshold in the house of the Lord than to be out there somewhere hanging out with the wicked, at the tents of the wicked. That means anything outside of the church is a wicked place. Are the dwellings of the wicked, of the vile, of the nefarious, of the evil, outside of the church life. So today, let me read one more verse, and that will be my point here. Several Psalms later, Psalm 90, and this is by Moses. This is a psalm by Moses that talk about the brevity of the human life, etc. He talk about the days of our years are 70, if we are strong, 80. Right now, the years in the U.S. of that, what do you call it, the year that people die? Life expectancy is 78.3 in U.S. So 80 years, you're really doing well. But all those, even if you live to 80 years, it's all what you're proud of to show is nothing but labor and sorrow, and soon it will be gone, and it will all fly away. Life is very brief, like the falling of the leaf, somewhere it says. Now, in verse 12, teach us then to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Moses, the man of God, who himself actually lived to 120, well beyond the 80 years, the normal 80 years. But he said, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Young people, this morning, I'd like to talk to you about how to redeem your time. This is my burden. How to redeem your time. And that is a verse, chapter 5, Ephesians, verse 16. It says, redeem the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. I'm very burdened, young brothers and sisters, that on the one hand, you have a lot of years in front of you. The best years I have was one your age, and I just wish that clock would tick a little faster so I can grow up more and do the things I want to do. Well, you know, the older you get, you wish the clock will go slower. And I have a lot of time in my hands, I told myself. Too much time. I wish time would go quicker. But now I look back, I totally think differently. And that is, I come to appreciate these words of Paul about the redemption of time. I gave a little word like this to the trainees in the training a couple of weeks ago. I'd like to say to you, young people, redeem the time because the days are evil. Why are the days evil here? Why are the days evil? Why is every day an evil day? Because every day there are things that fill that day that are evil and making those days evil. They're evil people, they're evil things, they're evil lifestyles, they're evil habits. And this is an evil society we live in. Full of evil. You know what evil means? Evil actually means something that is pernicious. Pernicious. Pernicious means that it's a form of evil. It's a kind of evil that comes or that affects you in an imperceptible way. Now, if you can identify this as evil, you always run away from it. But when it is imperceptible, you don't know that that is evil. That is pernicious. And Satan is called the evil one. That means he's the pernicious ones. That means he works in a way that is imperceptible. You don't know that it's going on, but it's going on. That's evil. That's evil. So we live in the days, in evil days, because there's so many things in our lives that are evil in this sense. Yes, I tell you all manners of evil. But the point here, in Paul's writing, the evil here, the reason why the days are evil here is because it consumes and eat up your time. Here's the point. It's not just evil in the sense it makes you bad or it tempts you to go to sin or that. That, of course. But the context here is that the days are evil because it eats up your time. It consumes your time. And according to a footnote here, it means it takes away your time. It reduces your time. It decreases the time that you have. And it even say it cause you to use your time ineffectively. In other words, it renders your time useless. You know, time is something that we all have. We all born, and so we all have this thing called time, however many years. And that's all that we have. You don't get more time. You are just allotted that much time. And when the time comes, that time is over. 80 years, 70 years, 90 years. And that time that is given to us, or the value of that time, because that time is always there, when we talk about reducing, we're talking about reducing its value, its usefulness, can change. It can be reduced. And this morning, I have good news for you. It can be multiplied. Amen. Which is what I talk about in Psalm 84. Now, the choice is yours and mine. We're all allotted this much time. But for some people, that time is day by day reduced. You live 80 years. It's almost like only 1 year is worthwhile. All the other 79 have been rendered useless, immaterial, valueless. That's the evil. That's evil. That's more evil than anything else. Needless to say, therefore, when you go to sin, you're wallowing in the world, you do all the things outside of God, outside of the Lord, people say you're wasting your time. This is really true. You are actually reducing your time. When you lose money, let's say you lose some money, you can always go and do a job and make that money back. But when you lose your time, it's gone forever. You cannot get that time back. Once it's gone forever. Today, I just wish I can just, you know, move the clock back, you know. When I hate to hear the ticking sound of the clock, because every tick means I have one less tick, you know. I have one less second to live. And they accumulate pretty quickly. And so I'm not saying I'm racing against time, but I'm telling you I have much less time to redeem than you. And I live like a more desperate man than you because I have less time in my hands to redeem. Now, I come to this word redeeming, redemption. What does it mean to redeem the time? What does it mean by that? Redeem the time does not mean you add more time. You have only finite time. That's all you have. To redeem the time means what? Means you buy back. You buy up. You regain what can be lost. You know, there's this verse in Joel chapter 2 about what? About, you know, restore the days that are eaten by the locusts. You know what I mean? You know that verse? You know, I talk about asking the Lord. My asking to the Lord is that I never will have to pray that prayer. Do you follow me? That I lost a bunch of time. Now I have to ask, Lord, please restore. And the Lord would restore to some degree. But how much better it is that I did not lose that time. that no locust ate my time up. I don't even have to ask for time to be restored because I didn't lose it. I redeemed it. I redeemed it. I regained it. Redeem the time. Redeem the time here in the footnote says, seizing every opportunity. Every hour, every day, every minute, you are seizing the opportunity. Time is time. The clock ticks for everybody. But to some, that time is redeemed time. For others, it's lost time. Now, every day, brothers and sisters, this is facing us from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed. That's that, how many hours? 24 minus 8 is what? 16. Those 16 hours. How are you going? What are you going to do with those 16 hours? Means everything. We all have to live a life to redeem those hours. You cannot increase it. You cannot decrease it as far as time itself, the duration itself. It's standard for everybody. But in terms of the use and the value of that time, it varies. If you redeem it, those hours, same hours, will be valuable, will be effective, will, in a good sense, be multiplied and increased. But if you don't redeem it, you let it go to do other things, I tell you, that time actually is lost, reduced, made useless. It's like you never had it. Same time. The value changed. Now, the point here is, what are we to do? Whenever in the New Testament with Paul, you talk about time, in Moses, you know, Moses and Paul are like the two, what do you call it? Mirror image of the Old Testament and New Testament servants of God. Both talk about this. And in both cases, whenever time and days are mentioned, wisdom is mentioned. Wisdom is mentioned. Teach us how to number our days that our heart may have wisdom. Paul, look therefore carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This is a serious matter of wisdom. That means how wise you are. The wise man redeemed the time. The wise heart is a heart that number the days. The number of the days doesn't mean you just check off the calendar. It has the same meaning as redeeming the time. That means you treat each day, you treat each year as so valuable that you will capture every one of those opportunities. You will not let one go so easily into all kinds of unprofitable things and useless things. That's a wise heart. That's wisdom. And in verse 17 in Ephesians 5, it says, therefore, don't be foolish. You see, foolish, the opposite of wisdom is foolish. Remember the those virgins, 10 virgins, remember? What's the difference between the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, right? Wisdom, foolish. What's the difference? It's the oil, right? One have oil in their vessel or in their soul. The other also saved ones, a regenerated spirit, a lit lamp, but no oil. What's the difference? What's the difference? It's in the buying. But what's the point here in the buying? Because eventually they all bought. It's when they bought. Again, time. The wise ones spend their lives today buying. I tell you, every minute you are buying the oil, you are what? You're multiplying your time. You're increasing the value of your time in the eyes of the Lord. And those ones who were doing many other things and not buying the oil, they still have to buy the oil one day, but they render the time that they have valueless, useless. They were what? They were snatched by evil. They live the evil days. And these are Christians. Now, I'd like to come to some practical application. How do we redeem the time? Well, I'm so glad that I'm just following Brother Ed. He brought up the iPhone. The iPhone. I have one. This is an iPhone. This is not Android, okay? This is Apple. Well, whether you have an Android or whatever, all these are smartphones that can do everything. I tell you, the more the technology is improving, the more they're building this stuff in here. Do you not agree with me? This little black thing here, oh, in my hand, in my hand, is the world. Everything related to the world, the cosmos today, is right here. Just a few taps and swipes away. I can access incredible amount of the world, which just not many years ago, you have no way of accessing for your whole life. Every form of evil is here. It's the World Wide Web, which nowadays you don't even need that www dot anymore. That's old stuff. My goodness, the next thing that is now you can watch everything. You don't need to go anywhere. You can just be in your own room and be with the world in such clarity, and it's in such, you can immerse yourself. The next thing now is the VR Oculus thing that will cause you to be not only objectively watching and receiving data and media, you are now able to immerse yourself fully in it. It's not just 3D, it's 4D. You are participating in that event. And that's the next thing. The next thing that is coming right now. Now it's video, video, video. And so the Facebooks, the Googles, everyone is on a race to get to this. We'll all soon be walking around with this thing. All of us. Touch and feel, smell. You don't need to go anywhere. Now, I'm not here on some anti-Apple rant or anti-Google rant, because I use this to facilitate the Lord's move today very, very much. I don't even know what to do without this, you know, the conveniences today. But I tell you, this is a two-edged sword. It can help, it can kill. And it is killing and has killed way too many, including us. This is evil. This is the evil day. Why? Because it consumes your time. This is almost the single most used device today by the evil one to consume your and my time. To eat away at it, to render our time useless, reduce it, destroy it. The time that we are given by the Lord, 70 years, 80 years, for His purpose, are now just sliced away, just eaten away for nothing. At the end, nothing. Well, I'm sort of declaring war, you know. I'm including me. I say today all of us are addicted to this. Addicted to this. I don't have any of this social media stuff. And even that's why I talked about Facebook last night, right? I mean, the time that people spend in this, and you have to load up your pictures and your latest party and this and that. And I tell you, how much time, brothers and sisters, you spend on that. Not to mention the real, real rotten things that this thing would bring. I'm not even talking about that. I mean, the really bad stuff, I'm not even talking about that. You know, today, you know, these killings going on these few days, you know, killing the police and this and that. Boy, they're doing that while the killing is going on. Murder is going on. Then the next thing is all over in the Facebook, and then the next thing goes viral, and the next thing, other people are doing that. I tell you, the devil has spinned a web like he has never done before in the history of human race. Now, dear saints, who are we? And what are we doing here? So let me quickly say something here. Don't be foolish like the worldly people, like the people, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, so let's talk about wisdom. A wise heart that would seize the moment, that would seize the opportunity. But that depends on your knowledge and understanding of His will. Then we need to find out, what is God's will? Well, this whole training showed us what is God's will. Didn't it? Am I right? You study every morning, right? What is God's will? God's will is that what? We would be filled with Him. We would be saturated with Him. We would become one with Him. We would be golden. Am I right? Amen. We would become God. All these wonderful utterances. That's the will of God for each one of us. And to do that, I know of only one way. Only one way that you and I can become golden. And that is to spend time with the golden one. You see why this is evil? It's not just because it shows you bad stuff, and of course there's tons of bad stuff, by the way. I talk a lot about that. The pornography, all these really, you know, bad stuff. But I tell you, even if it's good stuff, What it is doing is it is taking away our time where we should be in the presence of the Lord to spend time with Him. We have an old hymn. It's called Take Time to Behold Him. Do you know that old hymn? Take time to behold Him. You know, beholding the Lord, you cannot be quick. You cannot go through McDonald's for that, 30-second order. If there's one thing that takes time, is when you are with the Lord. That takes time. But I like to tell you, brothers and sisters, every minute spent with the Lord is a minute redeemed for eternity. I like to suggest all the young people that you ask the Lord to help you to build up a habit of what? Of redeeming the time by spending more time with the Lord. Personally. Every day. Rather than spending time on this. Let's be different. Let's not follow the course of this age. Yes, we have this, we use this, even we have the Bible in this and the hymnal in this. But as I said, please do not reduce God to a window. It's one of your windows. One of the 10 things. He's just compartmentalized by you as one of those in a little box somewhere. And that's your God. God deserves our full attention, our full concentration. The reason why we do not have that much saturation, that much infusion by the Lord, that much absorption of the Lord, as a priest should do, is because our time with the Lord is fleeting, too quick. I need to get on to business. I need to get on to this. So my time with the Lord is reduced. Whereas my time with this, I have all kinds of time for this. Do you know the Lord is jealous, God, jealous over your time with Him? Moses, 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't just go in there for 30 seconds and come out shining. It's impossible. It's 40 days or 40 nights of gazing, being radiated upon by the God of glory. And then, I tell you, it got under his skin, it got into his being, then he just shined with the glory of Jehovah. It's 40 days and 40 nights. Brothers and sisters, spend time with the Lord. Take time to behold Him. This is the way you redeem your time. And every bit of those time will be valuable. In fact, every minute of your time with the Lord is a multiply time. It's a time that made more valuable. I can guarantee you that. Now, the other aspect with this verse back to 84, Psalm 84 now. A day in your courts is better than a thousand. The other way to redeem the time, I'm going to tell you now, is what? Is to spend your time, your days, in His courts. That is in the church. In the church meetings. With the saints, in the work and service of the Lord, You know, these 50 years, I told you my time, 50 years. I thank the Lord forever and ever that these 50 years I was kept in the church life every single day. I can die today and still boast in how many years did I count? 90,000 years of value time, valuable time. Young people, never leave the church. Never even entertain that thought of leaving the church life. I know some saints, they dropped out for a while. They came back. And they always mourn the loss of those years. Because those are not just years, those are devalued years. Devalued years. They are years that don't count in the eyes of God. Spend your days and the rest of your life in the church. Love the church. How lovely are your tabernacles. Be that swallow, be that sparrow. Am I right? And dwell in those two altars. Be in the church. Never, never leave the church. Love the church. So here, I'm done. I gave you some very valuable advice. And I don't ask you to pay me for it. How to redeem your time. I will tell you, if you would practice this, you'll have many, many years. Many, many years, thousands, tens of thousands of years added to you that count in the eyes of God because you are doing His will. May the Lord give us all such a heart of wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
Time to pray, time to be with the Lord. Time to behold and reflect. You know, another thing is all this thing causes us. We don't even have a moment that is, we can even reflect. Just think, even no time to think, because you're busily going to the next window or the next whatever page or whatever. To catch up with things that at the end of the day are but just nothing but emptiness. You know, the Moses say, the life will pass by like a sigh. That's the life is gone. Okay? That's my word to you today. Amen.